And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Weekend Watch, a production of Green Mushroom Media. I am your host, Spencer, sitting here with David.
Hi.
And Jonathan.
Hey.
And we're here once again to talk about some great stuff, some not so great stuff. I don't know. You decide that you can stream this weekend on your favorite streaming services. We have another installment of Franchise Breakdowns today. I decided that with Halloween right around the corner, it'd be a fun thing to do a little breakdown of a lesser-known horror franchise. So today we're going to focus on the VHS series of found footage anthology films. The first one came out in, 2012?
Yes.
Created by, Brad Miska in collaboration with Bloody Disgusting? I'm a big fan of horror anthology movies. I love watching a bunch of different horror shorts from unknown, up-and-coming, and well-established horror directors. So this was a series that I've really been enjoying. Overall, it can be pretty uneven sometimes, but I liked it overall. General thoughts, Jonathan? I know you you have some thoughts.
You're muted.
Yeah, no, my button's not working. I smashed that thing like four times. I did not care for these movies, Spencer.
Is it because you don't like found footage in general?
So that's part of it. I don't like found footage. I'm not a huge fan of anthologies at all. My problem with anthologies in general is that there's usually one good one and then a lot of filler. And so I don't think anthologies on the whole are generally successful. I think with this series, as we get through it, there are a lot of good ideas in these that are executed very poorly. And I think if some of these were standalone movies, except for the one that they chose to make a standalone movie, I think if some of these were standalone movies, they actually would have been more successful for me than than they are in the anthology context. But as a general rule, I don't like found footage, but also I just didn't find these to be all that scary. I didn't find them to be unsettling, suspenseful, scary. They were just meh. They just existed to me. So I don't think they really accomplished any of their goals successfully.
I mean, fair enough. I disagree. David, what do you think?
Honestly, I very much enjoy the horror anthology format. Tales from the Crypt is what I was teethed on, staying up late and watching HBO when I'm not supposed to.
Well, I don't hate it. I love Tales from the Crypt. I love the Creepshow movies. Sure. I actually thought my issue is that it is so easy for anthologies to go bad.
I agree. I was just going to bring up American Horror Story, which is probably my best example of a really bad horror anthology. They just shove so much shit into this horror cornucopia that it just busts,
and that's the problem with something like that. How many seasons American Horror Story has? 13, 12 or 13 seasons?
10, 11, something like
and
that.
And three good ones?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And even then, the biggest issue really I have uneven. With AHS is that even the good seasons go on for three or four episodes too long.
Way too
fucking long. That's a Ryan Murphy thing. They give him way too much leeway.
They should have cut those seasons in half.
Yes.
And
seven or eight episode seasons.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of my point with anthologies is even in American Horror Story, I'll read the concept and there's a great concept in most of those seasons that is executed so very poorly. And with a lot of these VHS ones, there's great concepts. I like a lot of the concepts here. I just don't like their execution.
And that was going to be my counterpoint with the VHS series is they don't bother themselves with shoving so much backstory and just filler into these. You said there was filler. I disagree. I think a lot of the stories are pretty bite-sized and go straight for the horror meat. There's a couple that kind of linger on too long, and there's a couple that don't hit the mark. But for the most part, I think, especially the first one, was really great.
The Siren one, or the one they spun off into Siren?
The whole or the first movie.
The whole first movie? Okay.
The whole first movie. Yeah. Anyway, let's break down the first movie.
Yeah, let's get into it. So yeah, VHS came out in 2012. It has what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 anthology segments plus a wraparound story to kind of tie them all together. They've all got a wraparound story like this. This one is about a group of criminals who videotape their hooligans, shitty exploits. And they get hired to break into a house and steal a specific videotape, and everything's real creepy. They walk in to find a dead guy in front of a wall of TVs with you know, a bunch of VCRs, and they're looking through these tapes, and each tape that plays is one of the anthology segments. The first one was called Amateur Night, directed by David Bruckner of The Ritual and The New Hellraiser. Let's see. The Amateur Night is about a bunch of friends three friends who rent a motel room. They go out to bars and try to pick up women to bring back and film them having sex with a spy cam.
That are in this guy's glasses. Cause that's also like a point, like a hallmark in these movies, is most of the story is told through first person.
Right. So this guy, Clint, he's got spy glasses that have a camera in them. Clint encounters a young woman named Lily, who is very strange. She just keeps whispering, "I like you," to him while the other guys are trying to pick up other girls. They bring Lily and another girl back to the hotel room, and stuff starts to go wrong when Lily attacks them. And turns out she's a succubus.
The image of her face sticks with you. Like, this is, I think they started this whole series off with on the very best foot. I very much enjoyed this story. And like I said, still years later, that face fucking pops up in my memory from time to time.
Like the before or after the reveal?
After the reveal. Yeah.
I like how before you can still see, like, her face kind of splits. Yeah. Open.
But before there's
all that line down the forehead,
mm-hmm,
that's like faint, invisible, but still visible.
And the whole time you're thinking is like, okay, what's going on with her? Am I just messed up because that's just the way that she looks?
I don't know. I liked this one overall because it created a kind of a creepy feeling and overall ambiance of dread, I thought.
You think this was the most
unsettling about her the whole way through.
This was by far the most unsettling one. I mean, it wasn't, again, I don't know that, I don't know if their goal is straight horror, like actual scares, or if it's just to leave you unsettled. If it's just to leave you unsettled, they accomplish their goal. It was, this one, on reflection, is probably the best one in the movie, which is why it got spun off. It's fine.
I feel like that's going to be your answer about most of them.
Oh God, no, no, it's fine. It's high praise. It's fine praise. High praise. You know, words. It's early words.
I get that. I don't know. I liked this one a lot. It didn't overstay its welcome. It had a cool ending where Clint is trying to get away from the succubus attacking everybody.
I do appreciate when she rips his ding dong off.
Oh my God! Right, and just throws the whole thing root and stem.
We'll say. So I'm watching these movies with I'm forcing Michelle to watch these along with me because I don't like her very much, I guess. And the first time I was like, oh, okay, I know why Spencer likes these movies. Then we got to the second movie and I was like, oh yeah, definitely know why Spencer likes these movies.
Why?
Because there's boobs within the first like minute and a half of each movie. And oh, then sure. There's so many boobs all over the movies. And boobs? I was like, ah.
It's a horror movie. There's boobs everywhere.
Yeah, but these
horror
are quick.
Horror movies and boobs. Name a more iconic duo.
I mean, while you're not wrong, it's just like these were instantaneous boobs. It's like credits boobs.
I mean, yeah, sure.
In the second one, they are just like fucking right there.
And that's even right. In this one too, it's like credits, parking garage boobs. Now, granted, these are non-consent boobs, but they're still boobs.
They are boobs. All right, let's move on to the second one, called Second Honeymoon, directed by Ty West, who has found recent success with X and Pearl. He also did Cabin Fever 2, The House of the Devil. He's done a fair amount of.
There's a third movie coming out in that X trilogy, right?
There is.
Okay.
Maxine. So. I'm pretty stoked for that. Anybody else want to recap this one?
So Sam and Stephanie, going on a honeymoon, get to a motel and run into a creepy mechanical fortune teller, gives her a weird fortune. As they're sleeping, somebody breaks into their hotel room, picks up their camera and sort of like creepily rummages through their room and things. This happens second time, third time. It's just the twice that it happens, I think.
Two times.
Because the second time, this person stabs the guy Sam in the neck a whole bunches, and the reveal. Should we give spoilers? Are we giving like spoilers here, or are we just kind of recapping? It's a decade old movie.
That's true. Spoil it. Fuck it.
If
you haven't watched these movies, go watch them first and then listen to the episode.
Yeah. Okay. It turns out that Stephanie's been playing Sam. Well, I'll leave that. That's spoilery enough.
Fair enough. I thought this one was the strongest of the movie, frankly. I liked this one a lot. It kind of taps into that primal fear that you don't know what's going on around you while you're asleep, especially in an unfamiliar location. Just kind of, there's definitely a bit of gaslighting to it. I liked it. I liked this one a lot.
I like the reveal. What I got for you? I like the reveal.
That was it. That's all your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
David, you must have liked this one, I hope.
Yeah. It was solid. It was good. I don't know. It's not the most memorable of the series, but it's a solid entry.
Yeah. I personally thought this one was the best. All right. Well, let's move on then to Tuesday the 17th. Jonathan, why don't you do this one?
Sure.
This was by Glenn McQuaid.
Who has done basically nothing.
Has made nothing. Yes.
Yeah.
He made a movie called I Sell the Dead, which nobody has seen probably. And something called Chilling Visions 5, Five States of Fear segment. I don't know. That's it. He's done nothing.
Yeah. All I know about him is he's Irish and openly gay, according to his Wikipedia. Which, all right. So you in this one, in Tuesday 17th, we see a group of four people, early like 20s age people, driving in a car. And they're going to a lake house where one of the friends has gone every, she said she's gone every year or whatever. And so they get out to the house, they start hanging out by the lake, which is not really a lake. It's a really gross lake. And then they start, like, the girl who takes them out there tells them about a story about a bunch of people being murdered there that they all think is a joke. A couple of them go off to use the restroom, and then one of them gets a knife randomly launched into her face. And then the other guy ends up getting killed by it. Basically what it is, you only see it as a glitch. I think they call him the glitch.
Yeah.
In the credits. You see it as like a glitch on the screen, but it's like this headless kind of red, like headless figure with like a little bit of red or whatever. And, let's see. Are we spoiling?
Sure.
So if I recall correctly in this one, this is Wendy lured those other three people there to feed them to the glitch.
Well, to like use them as bait.
Right. And I don't remember exactly what she was trying to use them as bait to catch the glitch.
Right.
Because the glitch killed her family or something?
To kill
family, like, friends.
Your friends.
Okay. Yeah. So she's luring those three people that she brought up there to feed them to the glitch, essentially, so that she can kill the glitch.
Yeah.
I thought this one was pretty okay. this one, I think this one more aligns with like my horror leanings, because I am more a slashers person than anything else. So this one kind of aligns more with my horror feels. And again, I just like the concept, but
this one to me, tried to do too much in too short of a time. This one felt like the director, the writer, the guy was trying to cram an entire like Friday the 13th movie into 16 minutes.
Right. Well, sure. But that's, again, that's my issue with all anthologies. So, or not all, but most anthologies, is they don't know how to like, they either try to do too much or too little. It's really hard to hit that sweet spot in 15 minutes.
The pacing's always incorrect.
Yeah. Like you get, and that's my biggest issue with most, like, even if you look at the notable good anthologies like Creepshow or, you know, because I think even Creepshow 2 has like one story that's really good, one that's mediocre, one that's bad, right? The first Creepshow has like two pretty good stories and then like a mediocre one. It's hard to hit that, like, get your pacing right and get it condensed right. And I think that's an issue with a lot of these, is they're either not formed enough or they're too formed.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just feel like this one really missed the mark. What did you think, David, on this one specifically?
It was, I think the creature was a little bit more thoughtful, a little more unique. But ultimately it was, it was too, just didn't quite land.
Fair enough. All right. Well, the next one was The Sick Thing That Happened to Emily When She Was Younger, directed by Joe Swanberg, written by Simon Barrett. What has this guy, Joe Swanberg, done?
Joe Swanberg did what? You're Next?
I don't see it. I don't recognize it. He's got a long filmography.
He's a big like mumblecore guy.
I was just gonna say he's done a lot of mumblecore movies.
Yeah, like he's in Drinking Buddies. I thought he was in Your Next, but apparently I'm wrong about that.
He did Silver Bullets. Yeah, a lot of mumblecore stuff.
Yeah, that's what I know him from, is like being like really. Oh, he is in Your Next. Yes, that's what I know him from. But yeah, he's a writer, mumblecore guy. Yeah, yeah, he's a real big guy in that in the.
Mumblecore, some mumblegore credits, so that's fair. Anyway, this one is about, it's told through a series of video chats between a woman and her boyfriend. Boyfriend's at school to be a doctor. She moves into a new apartment and thinks it's haunted, so she's always calling him up and trying to get him to witness these hauntings. There's a bunch of like kid ghosts that she keeps witnessing and walking the laptop around to show him. And in the end, it is a very weird reveal that these are some sort of aliens rather than ghosts. And they're using her to grow some sort of alien human hybrid in her body. I don't know. It's fucking weird.
She's a fetus farm.
One at a time, please.
She's a fetus farm.
Sure. Yeah.
That's all. I mean, that's real. They're just implanting fetuses in her, and then they keep them, because you hear him at a certain point towards the end, like right when he pulls the fetus out, he's like, "I don't know how many more times we can do this."
Right. Right.
So yeah, I'm like, she's just a fetus farm.
Yeah, I was gonna say the boyfriend's in on it. He's got like multiple sows. It's terrible.
I mean, yeah, basically.
Also, again, boobs for Spencer.
There are some boobs in this. Very true. If they had kept it as a straight up ghost story, this would have been a really good entry. It's got a lot of atmosphere. It's got a lot of some good jump scares. I liked it right up until the weird reveal.
I actually like the reveal. I think that makes it better.
It was unsettling. But
I actually think the reveal was what made this particular segment. I think this is one of the better ones.
I just wish that it wasn't aliens instead of ghosts. I keep the gaslighting, keep the atmosphere, the ambiance, the jump scares, the aliens just threw me.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of the gaslighting is the aliens.
I mean, like, you could do a gaslighting with a ghost story. Maybe he could still be in on it with the ghosts.
He's in on it with the ghosts? This is why you don't make movies.
Sure, man.
They're making ghost hybrid babies? What are you... doesn't even make sense. Aliens,
he's just hanging out with ghosts. It's like, hey, that's
a baby thing. You could do something different, but still have him be in on it.
satanic cult.
You guys are hung up on the babies, like, and I don't understand it.
No, no, I just want to know what the end goal is if he's cahootsing with the ghosts. Like, just to dick with her?
No, man, I don't know. Maybe it's some sort of demonic thing, you know? Birth a demon.
Okay, that's what I was
babies.
All I'm saying is at that point, it lost me. As soon as it was aliens, it lost me.
All right.
All right, fine. Final one. 10/31/98, directed by Radio Silence. Who has done multiple things for the VHS films. He's got one in VHS 94, the upcoming or released today VHS 99, and he'll be doing something in VHS 85.
Still a they.
They, sorry. Trio
it's
of films.
It's a group of three people.
Fair enough. They also did Scream from 2020, Scream 5, and we'll be doing Scream 6. So lots of stuff. Lots of cred. David, what's this one about?
I don't remember this one. I wasn't able to finish.
This is the Halloween party where the dude's dressed up as the nanny cam. He's dressed up in the bear suit with the nanny as a nanny cam. And then they go to this. He and his friends are going to this haunted, what they think is a real actual haunted house, not like a haunted
house.
Well,
like they're supposed to be going to a Halloween party.
But like at a legit haunted house.
Right. Like, but I think they wind up at the wrong address.
Yes. Yeah, they stumble into it, I guess they don't know that they're going to a real haunted house. They stumble into it and find out it's actually haunted. Is that what happens? Okay.
Yeah, like they go to the wrong address and wind up stumbling onto a house where where a bunch of weirdos are trying to perform an exorcism.
Yeah.
On a young woman, and shit starts to go off the rails. The house is clearly haunted or becoming haunted as they try to exorcise a demon from this young woman upstairs. The unsuspecting guys try to rescue the girl. They get her out of the house, into the car, and turns out she really was possessed because some stuff happens.
That's bad. Nanny cam dude's the bad guy in this one.
How so?
Because he stopped her from getting exercised. They kill a bunch of innocent. They kill a bunch of dudes who are trying to basically save this woman. The nanny cam dude's the bad guy.
Fair enough. I agree. All right. I get that point of view. I don't know. It was a pretty good one. The effects were pretty cool. You know, hands coming out of the walls and stuff like that. It was cool. I liked it. You look unhappy, Jonathan.
No, I would say this was my second least favorite. It's fine. It's not, I don't know. I think if in order for me, I don't know if we count the framing narrative, but I fucking hated the framing narrative, and I think that's part of why I don't like this one. Is that the framing narrative? I don't think the framing narrative works very well. But I think this is towards the bottom for me. Just it was okay. It was fine.
Yeah, the framing narrative is really hit or miss in some of the movies. I think this one it was the first one, and it like was sort of setting up how each subsequent movie was going to work. I think this one was the best sort of framing narrative around the actual entries.
I mean, I think it works the best in the sense that like it makes the most sense as to why this dude, like where, how they're coming across all the tapes. Cause like you get into the second and the third, like you get into the second one and I'm like, why does this random, like, I don't understand why you have a bunch of tapes. This one makes no sense. Like, so this, the framing narrative in the whole does, I think, work the best, but it's just my least favorite framing narrative in the fact that everybody's a shitbag and I hate them all. So it just like left me with a bad taste to start with. And then, you know, but yeah, so let's,
yeah, I mean, that's fair. The framing narrative is definitely my least favorite part of this movie for sure.
Yeah.
I get what they were going for. It worked the first time I saw it, but on rewatch, it just wasn't great.
Well, and I think it probably worked a little better 10 years ago than it does now.
I like the overall framing narratives in these movies. It gives this sense that it's the only continuous thing in these movies, you know?
I agree that it needs a framing narrative. Like, that's not my issue. I think it's just that they're bad in some cases. Like, you know, you got Tales of the Crypt has the Crypt Keeper as the framing narrative, and that works, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But like, they need something to explain why, but they're real hit and miss in this series.
Fair enough. Well, so that's VHS 1. Again, I think Second Honeymoon is the strongest. You guys, which one did you guys like the best?
Amateur Night.
Amateur Night?
Yeah. Amateur Night will always be my favorite, I think.
I think Amateur Night is the strongest, but I liked Friday the 17th or whatever the hell they call it in this one.
Tuesday the 17th.
But I do agree that it's got some issues. I think it's got issues.
Just ripping off Friday the 13th. I didn't even put that together when I read the title. God damn it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, the next one is VHS 2, which came out in 2013. This one has, what, three segments? One, two, three. No, four. Four segments. Four.
Yeah, I think there's four in each one.
No, Viral only had three.
Did it? All right. So I'm going to be honest with you here, Spencer. I checked out of a couple. It's going to get a lot less. I liked them more as we got further into them, I think, because I checked out and stopped watching them as intently.
Fair enough. All right. Well, the wraparound narrative of two is that a couple of private investigators, a guy and his girlfriend, are hired by a college student's mother to find out why he's disappeared and isn't answering any of her calls and stuff. So they go to his house, break into his room, discover a bunch of VHS tapes and a laptop, and kind of just start exploring the house, see if they can figure out why he's disappeared. On the laptop, there's recordings of him making videos about VHS tapes, like underground VHS tapes of paranormal activity that cause things to happen to the people who watch them.
Yeah, like, but it's got this sort of dark vibe to it, like snuff films. But yes,
right. this one, I think, is the weakest frame narrative, in the sense that it doesn't explain the stories that are going to come later. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'll give you that, but I think the stories that come later are just his collection of weird shit caught on tape.
Yeah,
but I thought the narrative itself was the strongest, like. As far as, you know, there's a reason that they're there.
Yes. I mean, it's I will give you all like that.
They're unwitting. It's not criminals for once, or this time around. And I don't know. It felt cohesive why they were there and why they were watching these tapes.
There, I guess, makes sense. But that why he has these tapes makes zero sense.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, he's a collector. They kind of say he's a collector.
Because he's a screwed up college kid who like... fell down the gore hole, but like this one's a little more niche,
right? And there's even a thing where he says like he went to some underground V8 guy with a bunch of VHS tapes, but his collection was mostly tame stuff like snuff films and
I remember that. Yeah. But here's why I ask. So in the first segment, right, the guy with the eyeball, I'm trying to figure out. If you accept the premise that we now have this super advanced eyeball that you can replace and can just give you sight,
uh-huh.
But we're still living in a world where that video somehow ends up on a VHS tape.
Well, sure. Okay, so this one's more modern, and I think it's VHS in the nominal sense. Like yeah. That one, like I think she played that one on the laptop.
Yeah, probably, but that's what
like this one is more about like films, like not necessarily on VHS.
I know, and that's I guess my bigger issue is if you're gonna name your series VHS, like you gotta lean into that.
I mean, yeah. Sure, and Viral has the same issue in that.
Yes, I agree.
Set,
yeah,
but VHS, like that's why they're trying to the Shutter ones. Once you get to 94, yeah, and on, they're trying to get back to the goes roots. Back
to that. Yeah, exactly. Like there's videotapes in each one. Like Viral has videotapes in it too, but they also make in the general context. Like we'll talk about that one anyway. So,
let's start the first one, the one about the guy who's in a car accident. Doctors outfit him with a brand new prototype of an ocular implant that because it's, you know, in development still, it's recording everything that he can see. So that's where the footage comes from. But it turns out that the implant is allowing him to tap into some kind of paranormal wavelength, and he can start seeing like ghosts of dead people. And there's a woman who comes to him who saw him at the doctor's who has the same issue, except she's got a cochlear implant so she can hear dead people. And she says the more you interact with them, the more they can interact with you and harm you and stuff. So that's the whole segment, is suddenly there's a bunch of dead people trying to kill the both of them.
Yep, that pretty much sums it up.
It was fine.
I hate how they handled this one.
It had some jump scares. You know, I don't know. Overall, I think it was a miss.
I really hate how they... I think this one had a lot of potential, and this is the one where they fucked up the most, and it drives me crazy. Because if they didn't tell him... If they didn't give... The problem is, he tells him, like, right from the outset, you may see some things, and that removes all of the scare factor for me. Because I'm like, okay, well, this is just all glitches in the eye. I don't give a shit.
Like, right, so now you know that there's going to be something. You know
what's coming. Like, if he hadn't said anything, and then this guy was like, what the fuck am I seeing?
Right.
What's going on? And then all of a sudden, the stuff that he's seeing is trying to kill him. That's scary. But when you tell me from the outset, you're going to see some things. Yeah. I'm like, I don't really care anymore. Like, it doesn't scare me anymore because I already know that anything I see is not real.
No, I agree. I agree with you completely. Like I said, I thought this one was not very strong.
Yeah.
It was done by Adam Wingard, the director of the 2016 Blair Witch, Godzilla vs. Kong, directed Your Next.
That's where I got it from. Okay.
Yeah.
He's done some good stuff and then some real bad stuff.
Very true.
Like he did. Did you watch the Netflix Death Note?
No, I did not. It's just probably for the best.
It's real bad. Especially if you like the original ones, it's real bad.
David, what did you think of the eye segment?
Yeah.
Same.
It was okay. It had boobies.
It did. That's true. All right.
You remember the boobies? She's like,
when she tries to bang, she bangs him to get rid of her uncle.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Dead uncle standing outside the window.
And she's like, let's just,
I'll distract you. And she takes off her shirt.
Here's my boobs. My uncle will go away.
I don't think that's true. Like, isn't that the whole
thing? More.
You said he was a bad man as though he somehow, like, as, with some sort of, there was a real thought behind using that phrase.
Everybody's got that creepy uncle.
Yeah. Let's move on to A Ride in the Park. This one is about a bicyclist doing some mountain biking on some trails in a state park. He's got a helmet cam, comes across a blood-covered woman who says her boyfriend is injured and needs help. She starts vomiting blood. And then all of a sudden, turns out it's the zombies. There's zombies in the woods.
Zombies.
The woman turns into a zombie, bites him. He staggers through the woods, falls over, becomes a zombie. But guess what? The camera is still rolling. So now he's a zombie in the woods, and he goes with other zombies, and they attack everyone they can find in the woods.
It's like when you put a GoPro on your cat, but it's a zombie.
Exactly.
And I mean, this one sets itself apart from other, just like every other zombie story by having a little bit of a heart-wrenching ending.
Yeah, definitely. I'll give you that for sure. I also really liked the idea of doing a zombie movie from the perspective of the zombie.
Yeah.
Like that was interesting. That was a new take. Yeah, I liked it a lot. You know, it wasn't scary in the traditional sense of a horror movie, but it works. It was a cool idea that they executed in a fun way.
It was a solid entry.
Yeah. Jonathan, what'd you think of this one?
I actually thought this was pretty okay. I mean, all things like it is a good zombie short, all things considered. I mean, it was, I think the shortest part of this, I think it was like the shortest segment, and it did the job. It was good.
Nice. Yeah. A really cool thing. I like this one a lot. All right. Well, let's move on from Zombies in the Park to the next one called Safe Haven. This one is about a documentary film crew in Indonesia trying to infiltrate a cult compound, ask tough questions of the cult leader and get footage and blah, blah, blah. They get inside and it turns out they picked the wrong day to go to the cult compound. because they birth a demon.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they do. There's this sort of like little side story about an affair between a love triangle in this film crew, and she happens to be pregnant and births the Antichrist.
Yeah.
That very end scene made me crack. I laughed.
It lost me.
I laughed hard at that. When the fucking Baphomet thing is like, da-da.
Calls him or whatever Papa. The
fuck. Yeah, Papa. And I was like, good God.
Oh, man. This one was really promising and just did not deliver at the end. They could have done this one so much better. It was made by Timo Tijanto and Gareth Evans. Gareth Evans did The Raid and The Raid 2. And Timo Tijanto is an Indonesian filmmaker, so I don't really know anything he's done. I don't know. Jonathan, what'd you think of this one?
I had very similar thoughts. I was like, oh, this has a lot of promise. We're doing Indonesian death cults. Because it seemed like there was, at first, the way it played out was it looked like they were doing like a suicide pact ceremony type of thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, whoopsie, here's a demon. But I thought this one had pretty effective gore. And then it just went off the rails, but I thought it had a lot of promise.
Yeah, I agree with you. It just did not deliver in the end, but this one could be made into a really good, feature length film, I think, with more money. Maybe get rid of the supernatural element and it's just a slasher, like cult, doomsday cult or something. I don't know. Could have been good.
No, we just talked about how that last scene was the best part.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. You're right. My mistake. All right, let's move on to the final segment of VHS 2, Slumber Party Alien Abduction. This one is about a group of kids and their dog. They strap a GoPro to the dog, and their parents leave, and the older sister's older friends come, and the little kids are trying to mess with them, and aliens come and start abducting them all, and it's all told from the point of view of the dog because he's got the camera.
That's the best part of this one.
The dog?
The dog.
The dog having the camera is the best part. Everything else is trash. I
hated this one.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, this one sucked.
Real bad.
Honestly, that's all there is to say. Like, the aliens sucked. Whoever made the alien design sucked. The story sucked.
They were cookie cutter. The movement didn't make sense. They were just like sort of ever present. The fucking,
but also bumbling. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was just all around bad. Like, there's nothing, I didn't see a lot of, there's nothing redeeming in this one really that I can think of.
I agree. Yeah. It was made by Jason Eisner, who's
done, I think, nothing.
He did a segment in the, he did the Hobo with a Shotgun.
Oh, that's why I know the name. Okay.
In Grindhouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's like, about
not,
it.
Not the film, just the segment.
Didn't even trust him to do the movie.
No. He did a movie called Treevenge, which sounds like it's a trauma movie or something.
Which is probably why he didn't get to do Hobo with a Shotgun, because you go in with a resume of Treevenge, and they're like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. And he did do Hobo with a Shotgun. I'm sorry. He did both the segment
and the movie.
And the movie, yeah.
I mean,
and then he's supposed to be doing a movie called Kids versus Aliens, which has not come out and is TBA since March of this year, which sounds like it's going to be like he's trying to adapt his VHS segment into a feature length film.
That's unnecessary.
Unnecessary. Yeah, this one sucked. I think the best one in VHS 2 was A Ride in the Park, the zombies. What did you guys think?
I think it was the most successful. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, Ride in the Park. And I didn't dislike Safe Haven.
Yeah, I didn't either, right up until the end. That was all. Yeah.
That's the problem. Like,
I like the end. Fucking Baphomet dada thing. Fucking,
yeah, and that's the problem. Like, I think that A Ride in the Park is the most successful easily because it actually does what it sets out to do and does it well.
Yeah.
Safe Haven, I think, had the most potential. Like, Ride in the Park's a straightforward zombie thing, but Safe Haven had the most potential, and then they fucked it up at the end.
It was distracted. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to VHS Viral, which came out in 2014. Also produced by Bloody Disgusting and created by Brad Miska. This one, like I said, has fewer segments, I guess, but the wraparound is a little longer. The wraparound is about a guy, or the framing narrative, whatever you want to call it, is about a guy, Kevin, an amateur videographer, constantly shooting footage of his girlfriend, Iris. One night, they see on the news that there's a police chase going on, and it's going to go right by their house. So they both go outside to watch what happens, and the ice cream truck, which is the one being pursued, somehow abducts her. And then we start seeing a bunch of weird videos showing up on people's phones, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting, is that every time he looked at his phone, like, it was like glitching out and it was showing her face, and then it would segue into one of these videos.
Right. And it's, I don't know, I really disliked the wraparound, the framing narrative of this one.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
There's no explanation for why these things should be appearing on our screen.
Yeah.
Right. And like none of that makes any sense. The ice cream truck is somehow demonic or something, because fires are breaking out around the city wherever it goes. People are dying.
She mentions randomly, like 11 fires, like a lot of fires.
Fires.
This van murders like half a dozen people itself. And it's just going on this massive fucking spree, killing police, abducting girls and corrupting them and using their facades to lure unsuspecting boyfriends into hour-long bike ride chases.
Yeah, he's chasing it on a bike. A bicycle. On a
girl's bike. Doesn't he mention it's a girl?
Yeah, like, damn, it is a girl's bike. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It sucks. The ending reveal is stupid. The whole framing narrative is awful.
I mean, it's not going to get better once we get into the actual...
Yeah, no, it's not. It's really not.
At the end, we got to talk about the end reveal.
Fair enough. We will do that. But the first segment is called Dante the Great, written and directed by Greg Bishop, who was the director and the editor of the spinoff movie Siren. And nothing else I've ever heard of. All right. Dante the Great. It's like an investigative documentary about this amateur magician who comes into possession of a cloak that was once owned by Harry Houdini. And the cloak grants him the ability to perform actual magic. But the catch is the cloak needs to feed. It's demonic. So Dante the Great creates this like big persona and becomes a famous, like world famous magician. But he also has to feed unsuspecting women to the cloak and men.
And for some inexplicable goddamn reason, videotapes his crimes.
Yeah. Because he always needs an audience.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was like once they threw it, some throwaway sentence about that at the very beginning.
That makes zero sense, but honestly, this was a great segment. I enjoyed this story a lot. I thought the effects with the magic, him ripping open that SWAT dude's chest was...
Yeah, there was effective gore in this one. There definitely was. This one worked pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah, how they got this footage is stupid and just makes no sense at all. But I enjoyed the story.
It works as like a standalone story, but that's the problem, is it doesn't fit into the it being in this anthology makes zero sense.
No, right? It's not that it's like a professionally made documentary where these are all supposed to be amateur video, right? If it's on digital or analog or VHS or whatever, it's supposed to be amateur,
right? And this one is a straight up, like, they know after, sure, you know, you're told basically that he's a murderer and that you're interviewing with one of his assistants, but like it's a full-on documentary about it's basically like a Lifetime documentary or whatever about this murdering magician. And so it throws away the premise completely. and still doesn't fit into the context of the actual like anthology anyway. It's very weird.
Okay. Yeah, from that perspective,
it's not bad. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's not all of the three of them, I think it's the strongest, but it just doesn't fit in.
Cloak had hands and it grabbed her, bro. That was the worst part of the whole thing. Those like this fucking cheap ass hands reaching out to suck her in. Like there were like a few segments of him feeding people to this cloak before in the story, and they had done well. Even when he just like throws it over the girl on the bed, and she like has to like fight it off the bed, she did a good job.
Yes,
like that. They'd use no effects. It was just this poor actress fighting with a fucking cloak. She did great. And then at the end, they're just like, "I'm gonna get you."
Yeah, it is very strange. Just very strange. All right, let's move on because that one was weird and didn't fit, but still not terrible, I guess. All right, the next one is called Parallel Monsters, written and directed by Nacho Vigalondo, about an inventor in Spain who is working on a project, and it's revealed that this machine that he's built opens up a portal to a parallel dimension. Where at the same exact same time, the parallel version of himself has also been working on a machine to do the same thing. So it opens up and they can see each other and they're both very excited by it. They decide to spend 15 minutes in each other's dimension. And that's where stuff starts to go off the rails. Turns out the parallel dimension is not what it seems. It's very demonic.
Satan-y. And they've got demon dicks.
Yeah, with big demon dicks and vaginas and it's fucking weird. I don't know. what'd you guys think of this one? It was fucking awful.
Sex cult with demon dicks and vaginas pretty much sums it up. So this dude's
cult. The thing is, like, in this parallel universe, that's the dominant religion. I wouldn't even call it a cult. It's just that's their religion.
Yeah,
Like, that's their main. I mean, they have that giant blimp that is like what it's got giant like symbol on it and is blaring like
cross.
Yeah. So and it's blaring like demonic chants or whatever. So like that seems to be the main religion there.
What is it is. Yeah.
He just stumbled into the demonverse.
Yeah.
And it's bad. But he stumbled into the demonverse.
I didn't hate it. It wasn't great, but I didn't despise this one. It had a funny, ironic ending that was very reminiscent of like old Tales from the Crypt or something like that, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Each dude got his. And yeah, that was poor guy.
And the final segment in this one was called Bone Storm.
You say that right.
What?
Bone Storm. Because I feel like I'm reasonably sure they just stole that from The Simpsons.
Honest Storm.
Almost certainly.
I guess it kind of ties in at the end, but whatever.
Written and directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Scott Moorhead. It's about some skateboarders in LA who are kind of shitheads and they want to make an epic skateboarding video, so they hire a videographer. They wind up going to Mexico to some old abandoned, like what they call it is a flood channel, basically, to get, you know, the rest of the footage that they need. And they stumble across a death cult. Trying to, you know, and they're, I don't know. And they have to fight their way out.
This one's kind of weird. Cause it's like the videographer they hire, like pushes them to do more extreme stuff so that he can sell it. And the only way they find the death cult is because one of them, because of doing the extreme stuff, he injures himself. One of the guys injures himself and bleeds on a pentagram that's in that like water channel, whatever, flood channel. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, death cult.
And the death cultists attack him. Some of them are zombies. And then a demon comes at the end, I guess.
Yeah, they summon a demon that then kills everybody. Once the zombie demon skeleton things show up, I actually did not dislike this one. I thought it was pretty fun, at least.
Yeah, this one was fun. There was just some weird stuff. I don't know. The acting wasn't as good as it could have been. The skateboarders sure seemed awfully calm throughout most of this.
This is, yeah, that's very true. They did not seem super panicked, even when they were having to shoot skeletons and hit skeletons, reanimated skeletons with their skateboards. Like, yeah. they were running and stuff like that, but they did not seem like I would be shitting myself in terror because this thing I just killed reanimated as a skeleton. And they were
two of the people you went down there with have been killed, are dead, just straight up dead.
Yeah, they're real dead.
These dudes are super calm, like seasoned veterans in a battlefield. These, like, they immediately went into kill mode.
They have seen some shit.
The one guy had a handgun. He fucking, it was like one shot, one kill with that fight. That was like a little 9mm fucking thing.
Also, how do you just take he's just smuggled that gun into Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not that difficult, actually, but like, real dumb. Yeah,
getting it into Mexico.
Right, yeah. Right. Fair enough.
Good luck coming back with it.
I like when he decided to use the fireworks as weapons, the illegal Mexican fireworks.
He was riding around on the skateboard, shooting the fucking Roman candles at the zombie cultists. I was like, that's too much for me. That one, this one, I kind of did not like, honestly.
Just real dumb, but I at least like was entertained by the creature design. I didn't care about like what happened to the skateboarders or any of that kind of stuff, but I thought that the actual like zombie death cult creature skeleton things were actually like designed pretty well. All things considered, when you consider that they have like a $5 budget for these movies.
Yeah, totally. I think that was the strongest one of the segments for sure. I did not care for the other two at all.
No, I did not either. David, talk about this thing you wanted to talk about at the end so we can move on to the next crap fest.
Okay, so after a whole night of this dude biking around, I don't know how the fuck this dude is not just absolutely wasted. How is he standing at all? But a whole night of riding around, what is this, like L.A.?
Yeah, it's L.A.
He finally chases down this van in, that's the L.A. River, right?
Yeah.
Heavy quotes on the river.
It's the Greece race location.
Yeah. So he comes upon this van that is seemingly abandoned. There's like somebody's disembodied hands are taped to the steering wheel, and he's trying to figure out what the hell's going on. He gets in and there's just TVs all over the place, and his clearly possessed girlfriend is urging him to upload the footage. And just the whole damn segment makes no sense.
Yeah, it's awful. You know, the classic upload to YouTube analog toggle switch
is
prominently featured. That was what got me the most. I'm like, that's nothing. No, that doesn't work like that.
Also, are you going to leave out the biggest twist of this entire thing?
Where she's actually dead outside the van.
She's been dead the whole time. Basically,
if she'd have just looked on the other side of the van, that's where she was. Yeah.
She's been dead basically the whole time, and the phone's just like in selfie mode, and that's why he keeps seeing her. But
no, because this van was driven by Deus Ex Machina, so she wasn't on the van until she beat her head against the side of the recording booth.
Sure, sure. If that's what you want to go with, I'll take it.
Dumb.
Clear.
That's as good an explanation as anyone could come up with.
Spencer.
Yeah.
Take us to VHS 94.
All right. Let's move on. VHS 94 just came out in 2021. This one is the first that is a Shudder original. All right. Let's get into this one. This one I actually thought was better. The framing narrative is about a SWAT team who is supposed to raid a warehouse type building where they think a drug ring is producing some kind of new street drug. They get in and nothing is what it seems. It's a very weird TVs everywhere and doll heads and stuff. Some dead people with no eyeballs. And as they're going around, they find random TVs that start playing or projectors that start playing the segments. Takes place in, as you would guess, 1994. So we get a throwback to what VHS should be, which is weird shit caught on analog tape.
Yes.
The first segment is called Storm Drain, and it is about a news reporter and her cameraman who are filming a story about an urban legend, a cryptid called the Ratman, supposedly lives in the sewers. And so they, you know, they're getting B footage and Storm Drain exits, and the news people want them to go inside and get footage further in. So they do. They find some homeless encampments. So the news reporter, she decides that she wants more footage of that and try to interview some of the homeless people who live in the sewers. And it turns out Ratman is real. He has a cult worshiping him, and they get attacked. And then it goes off from there.
I enjoyed this one a lot. I really did. Have you guys looked up images of Ratma?
Like this thing that they made.
It is terrifying.
It's super creepy.
I really loved the skull embedded in its nose.
I guess that was his face.
Holy shit.
That's its face, dude.
Now that I'm seeing it not in the dark, grainy footage, that is.
Yeah, he real creepy.
I liked it in the movie, and it's even better when you see it like a screenshot.
Yeah. They did a great job. And then the end segment with her just like vomiting her acid bile onto her co-anchor's face.
Starting to say, "Hail Ratma."
Yeah, it's great.
I do like the end of this a lot. I wasn't super into like the beginning of it, but I do like the ending of it a lot. And I'm going to put this out there. The best part of this entire movie, because I hate this movie. This one was my least favorite out of all of them, I think, so far. But the Veggie Masher commercial, dynamite.
Definitely. There was a fake infomercial for something called the Veggie Masher cut in between, and it was awesome.
But this is the best segment in this one. I think the other three are trash.
Really?
Yeah, I fucking hate it.
Trash, he says. No,
that's bold.
I love the Lovecraftian elements in this.
This one, and Ratma's creepy as shit. Yeah. I like this one. This one was pretty good.
This was written and directed by Jennifer Reeder, who has done a lot of indie horror that nobody's seen.
She doesn't even have a Wikipedia page like a lot of these other people.
She has one. It's if you're on with the Wikipedia, her link is at the top.
Oh,
I think all of them. Their links they are just at the missed. Top.
I get you. I see.
All right, let's move on to the second segment called The Empty Wake. David, what was this one about?
So this girl is left. She's kind of new to this. She's like what is the position that she's in? She's like a.
She's a representative
at a funeral home.
Yeah, she's an attendant, if you want to.
Mortuary's assistant or something like that. Anyway, so she's there. She's going to be left alone to attend this wake, this viewing for this guy, Andrew. I can't remember his last name. Anyway, Andrew Edwards. They kind of reference that the dude was mutilated upon death in a pretty severe fashion, and it was kind of a chore to put him back together. Weird stuff's kind of going on throughout the night, and she's there alone all night because no one's showing up. I think eventually one guy shows up, kind of says a weird thing over the casket, and then shit goes haywire. More so, this dude turns into a zombie. She can't get out because somebody bolted the front door. And then a tornado hits, and it's my description is very disjointed. And upon like thinking about it, the story is a little bit smooshed together, but I didn't dislike it. I thought it was pretty solid. So this girl trapped in an empty funeral home, and the body comes to life. And also there's a tornado.
And also there's a tornado was a fun addition. I liked this one too. Frankly, not the strongest ending, but overall it had the scares. It had the foreboding atmosphere, you know, the lights keep going in and out, the random noises from the coffin. It was good. Yeah. I liked it. I liked this one a lot.
She is immediately...
it did not stick the ending, but that was it.
she's immediately a trooper about this, I'd be noping the fuck out. And like, you want me to?
That was what I was saying. Yeah. Like, why the fuck are you not? The first time I heard something from the coffin, I would have been fucking out of there.
When she calls him up, she's like, they're like, Tim's gonna fire you if you can't handle this. And it's like, then I'm out. Then I'm done with this job. I can't handle being alone with this fucking body that's bouncing around in this coffin.
Yeah, it turns out I quit then.
Yeah.
Jonathan, thoughts?
Didn't care for it. I don't understand. I understand they give the only explanation that they give is, well, the family wants it recorded. Like, who the fuck records what?
The family wants it recorded, man.
Why do you hung up on that? They were like, yeah, that's a weird request, but
they're paying weird request. For it, so do it. And who's the family that asked it to be recorded? Why? Because there's only one motherfucker that shows up. So who's is it the dude that shows up? But what? I don't.
They also said make it for there the was storm. A tornado. Yeah, they couldn't make it because there was a storm.
They knew that they couldn't make it, so they were like, hey, record it. Record.
There's going to be a tornado.
The thing?
I like how that's what you're caught up on.
Oh, record man. Us not showing up.
Oh, that's funny. I don't know. It was good. It was fine. It was a fine.
And then she had to pick up the camera and carry it around with her because that's what she was using as a flashlight.
Yeah.
That made all the sense.
That part makes sense.
I feel like sure. There's reasonable explanations for all your issues.
Absolutely. Very reasonable. I know every single wake I've been at, I was like, oh, there's the camera. The fuck, Spencer. Get out of here. Move on. Man.
All right. Next one is called The Subject, written and directed by, again, Timo Tejanto, who did the Cult Compound one from VHS 2. So that means it also takes place in Indonesia. And it is about a mad scientist who is abducting people and doing experiments on them, trying to fuse flesh with metal. And he's finally successful with a couple of subjects, just as the police barge in and try to arrest him. And he gets killed, but his subjects take their revenge for him. Fleshy robots with blade arms and gun hands. And that was what this was about. This one I did not care for too much. It turned into a weird first person.
It got Doom. Weird.
Like it was like weird. They were trying to do a Doom with it or something. I don't know. It became more of an action thing than a horror segment. And I didn't care for it.
This was bad, but I liked it. It wandered definitely at the end. It kind of lost its focus. But the whole first half is this sort of like industrial tech Frankenstein-esque dude. He's attaching heads to mechanical spider legs and shit, and just like going crazy with the body modifications. he's pre-cyberpunk. This dude is a trailblazer. And nobody understands him.
I thought it was a good concept. I just don't
it
see.
Was, yeah.
I think the problem with a lot of these is that I don't think anybody knows what the VHS like franchise, what the tone is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also don't like that the video quality was so much better than the other segments. So good. It's like this is so clear in 1994.
I was watching this on like the big TV, right? So I'm like, it's in 4K or whatever they stream on Shudder. Probably not 4K because of Shudder. But like, I looked at it and I was like, you want me to believe that this is 1994?
Right.
There's no. This is perfect. This looks like it was shot yesterday.
Yeah, and it should not. It should not look that good. And the tone just doesn't fit once it becomes action. It becomes an action movie.
Right, which I don't dislike. It just doesn't fit this.
Right, exactly. This one had, like I said, the concept is good. It would make a great feature-length, weird, cyberpunky action thriller. Yeah,
the creature that he builds, like the cyborg thing, is cool, but it doesn't fit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That was my only issues with it. I think, like I said, in the abstract, this was fun, and I liked it, but it just doesn't fit the tone, the theme, anything. Of what it should be. All right, let's get on to the final segment of VHS 94 called Terror. This one I loved. This is about a far right-wing militia that are plotting to blow up a government building in a bid to take back America. They have a secure compound where they have a, they keep referring to a weapon, a secret weapon that was gifted to them by God himself. And they keep showing clips of them going into a makeshift prison cell and shooting a guy in the head, but it's the same guy every time. And they keep shooting him in the head like a few times a day. And they keep referring to him as the creature. Well, it turns out that the creature is a vampire, and they siphon his blood and turn that into an explosive because it explodes when it becomes in contact with the sun. And they're going to smuggle him into a government building, let the sun touch him, and blow it up. But joke's on them. The vampire gets loose and all hell breaks loose. Yeah. And you know, that's what happens. Everyone dies.
I enjoyed this one a lot. I thought this was really great. What do they call the leader dude, Herr Commandant?
Yeah.
They picked this dude who kind of is bumbling, but has this air about him that might command the respect of idiots.
Laura said he looked like Bubbles from like Trailer Park Boys.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. He's kind of cross-eyed a little bit. There's an effect there that's he's cross-eyed. Anyway, it's this far-right dipshit militia determined to be terrorists, and they get their comeuppance, and it's pretty great. I like the vampire spin on it. They didn't like capitalize on the. They've got their own vampire thing going.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fun. It was topical. I like how they took the, I mean, there was a huge problem with right-wing militias in the early 90s and also now. So it felt topical for both the timeline of the movie and for when it was released.
Yeah, when they started talking about blowing up a federal building, I was like, wait, what? what year is this? What year is this supposed to be?
It doesn't help that you had those clowns in Michigan who tried to kidnap Whitmer.
Yeah. Very true.
Like right before this, I think.
So yeah, no, yeah, for sure. It was 2020 when that happened. Yeah. I don't know. Overall, it was just a strong segment. I liked it. The action, the horror part of it was cool. When they're trying to hunt down the vampire in their compound, and the story was just fun. I liked it a lot.
I didn't get to finish it, but this was kind of where I left off. But I've made it about halfway through, and what I saw was good.
And it fits. It's grainy VHS home shot video. It's good. It was really good.
It works in the like the context of what you'd expect these types of people to do, where they're making like a propaganda video, and like they're bragging about their weapon and like all that stuff. Like it totally all make this one. It makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Very strong.
I think the only thing that didn't land entirely with me was the vampire committing suicide at the end.
Yeah, fair enough. I get that. I liked it, but it was a little strange choice.
It was a cool effect, but why did he make that choice? But that's my only hang up with it.
Fair enough.
I mean, didn't he make that choice? Did he not make the choice in an attempt to destroy the compound?
I think that was what it was, yeah.
He was like, I'm going out so that I can destroy the compound. Because doesn't his blood explode?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but this dude had already taken out this whole little militia. Like he had one dude left. The vampire clearly had the power to fucking wipe these dudes with it, like completely out, and then like, and it was night, or it was going to be.
Oh, it was daytime. Yeah, we were. Right. Yeah.
Oh, so chill out for a little bit. You got your snack, and then you're free to go.
True. A little strange.
Anyway.
So this was written and directed by Ryan Prowse, who actually does not have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, get fucked.
yeah. So there you are. And then the wraparound segment finishes up. I won't ruin it for Jonathan, but it's weird. The end. It was fine throughout the movie, but the end part of it was strange to me.
If you think I'm finishing this fucking movie, I don't give a shit. Ruin it.
You're in the end segment. You must have like 20 minutes left tops.
I'm gonna fuck. Ruin it. I don't care.
Probably less than that.
Yeah, probably. I don't care. I'm not going to finish it.
All right, fair enough. It turns out two of the cops are part of the video cult. That's it.
That doesn't really ruin it either way.
So I'm not that worried.
They do a weird exposition about explaining everything in a way that still doesn't make sense. So it was stupid.
Yeah, I'm like, you did not ruin it for me either way. Even if I wanted to finish it, that would not have ruined it for me.
So that's it. That's VHS 94. And that's the final VHS movie that we have seen. VHS 99 has literally just released the day we're recording this. So we haven't watched it yet. And then they also just announced a third Shudder original VHS called VHS 85.
Feels like the timing of this episode could have been planned better.
What are you going to do?
And in that we should have never done it.
I mean, to be fair, we've already been recording a very long time.
Yeah, but you also took
it. I don't want to talk a whole minute poop break. Yeah, well, yeah, like, you got to poop, man. I can't help it.
I agree, but we're going to have to bump recording time up to 7:30 if you're going to pull this shit. My daughter should have been up half an hour ago.
I won't have, it'll be fine. Earlier. We'd already recorded a normal episode length by the time I had to go poop.
That's true. It doesn't help that it's an anthology four movie.
Right.
I'm done. I'm out. I'm leaving.
So are we all. That wraps up our franchise breakdown of the first four films of the VHS series. Don't forget to check out Bold Watch and Green Mushroom Media on Facebook, Twitter. We have a Discord channel where you can join up and talk to us about your favorite horror movies and stuff. Also, go to our website, greenmushroommedia.com. You can find a link on that website to our Patreon, where you can join, become a patron, and help support the shows. And with that, we will be back once again with another installment of Halloween Week next week. Good night.